morning, everyone. My title for today's sermonette is "The Lion is Seeking Whom He May Devour." We're all familiar with the story we find in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. It's the story of the first sin by Adam and Eve, the eating of the fruit of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And when God confronted Adam and Eve about this mistake, Adam blamed Eve for him eating the fruit. And Eve said, "The serpent, Satan the devil in disguise, he's the one that deceived me. He made me eat it." They placed the blame on someone else. They placed the blame on Satan. Although Satan plays a major role in a major part in influencing the decisions we make, he can only influence and tempt us. The decision to go contrary to God's law rests solely on us. The devil can't make us do anything. In James 1, verse 14, it reads, "Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away." It's our responsibility to stop the start of sin. The devil enticed Adam and Eve, but he did not make them do it. And God held Adam and Eve responsible for their sin. So did the devil really make them do it? No. But he was successful in getting them to go contrary to God's instruction. Let's turn to and read Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die. For God knows that in that day you eat of, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to her eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they saw that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." In verse 5, Satan is successful in convincing Eve that there was more to know, and God was keeping them from reaching their full potential. He was insinuating that we could decide for themselves that it was okay. What was okay? And what wasn't? In verse 6, we see that Eve was easily convinced. Even though she knew better, knowing it was God's instruction, she decided to eat the fruit, and then she gave it to Adam, as if it was truly good. And by doing so, help Satan to launch his plan to ultimately destroy God's plan for mankind. Satan contradicted God and his instruction and was able to convince first Eve and then Adam that there was more for them to understand. We didn't have it all yet. There was more to understand other than what God had spoken and taught them. Adam and Eve chose their will over the will of God. And Satan has been attacking the spiritual lives of men ever since. While Satan has time, he is going to continue to try to confuse, to deceive, and destroy as many as he can, preventing us from reaching the goal that God has in store for all that will follow him. In one of the commentaries that I read, the statement was made that Satan will do whatever is in his power whatever God allows him to do to convince us that his way is superior to God's. He dangles bait out in front of us that appears good and pleasant to the eye in order that he might hook us and draw us away. James tells us in James 1:16, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. We must be on guard at all times. Staying alert to the wiles of Satan the devil will make sure that we all that we see, all that we hear, all that we do is true. It's easy to be caught off guard when something looks and seems good. That's how a good trap works. I read a sign this week that read, The devil doesn't come dressed in a red cape and pointy horns. He comes as everything you ever wished for. Pretty true. God has provided us true instruction and has shown us the way that we need to live. He has revealed it all to us and has left nothing hidden that we need to know. Satan is a liar, and that's the way he attacks us. One of Satan's favorite weapons is to tamper with the Word of God. He used that weapon against Adam and Eve and was successful. He tried to use it against Christ and he failed. He has been in a furious rage ever since. And his rage is getting more hostile and aggressive every day we get closer to his time here on earth. Satan's focus is to try to destroy God's plan, and that means he will continue to attack us and try to wear us down in whatever way he can. He wants to destroy us spiritually. He is our enemy. Please turn with me to 1 Peter 5, or verse 8. 1 Peter 5, and we will read verse 8. 1 Peter 5:8 reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Let's consider the lion for a moment. The lion has been long recognized as being the king of the jungle. They fear no other predator due to their fierceness, their ruthless strength, and their well-known intimidating roar. Lions are most noted for the strength of their voice. The lion's roar can be heard by humans for up to 6 miles. His powerful voice is a warning that he is on the hunt. This is his territory. Therefore, we must not underestimate the strength of Satan's voice. Lions also rely on the use of camouflage until he's in range for the attack. If you've ever hunted, then you know how hard it is to see your quarry clearly when they camouflage themselves into the area they're in. It takes being very alert, even to the smallest of details, to sometimes see what's literally right in front of us. When dealing with lions, you must be aware of becoming its prey. You must pay attention to its activity. And if attacked, you never run. You fight back. Satan the devil has claimed this world as his territory. And we need to be aware of the danger that presents to us and be ready to react. So how do we prevent Satan from getting to us? Let's again look at 1 Peter 5:8 and reread the first part of the warning. Be sober, be vigilant. What's sober mean? What does it mean to be sober? Well, according to the Nelson Dictionary of the Bible, it means that we are marked by self-control, that we are of sound moral judgment. A sober Christian denies himself worldly pleasures This allows him to be alert, to always be alert, able to stand guard against the attacks of Satan. It also means not drunk, to not be intoxicated by the things that just feel good. In Titus 2:12, we read that we should live by denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. How about vigilance? Let's consider what vigilance means. According to the Merriam Online Dictionary, it means to be alertly watchful, especially to danger. To be alertly watchful, especially to danger, to avoid danger. Matthew Henry's commentary says, to be vigilant is to be suspicious of constant danger. As we wrap things up, let's take a moment and consider a few points on how we can prevent ourselves from being Satan's prey. Point number one, be watchful. Know what you're up against and the potential for becoming prey. In these end times, Satan will be on the move more than ever. We cannot fall asleep. We have to stay alert. We have to keep our eyes wide open and pay attention to what we see and what we hear. Satan's a liar, and he can manipulate and contradict God's truth with ideas and desires that are of the flesh, leading us to dangerous ground. We can't allow him to enter our lives in any way. In Matthew 26, Christ said to watch and pray lest you enter temptation. What are we watching for? We're watching for every snare and every temptation that will take us off the course and lead us to sin. We pray for what? We pray for a deeper understanding of God's Word. He stirs up His Spirit within us so that we are protected from Satan's traps. We have to pray daily to stay close to God and out of danger. Point number two. Recognize the warnings and dangers. When you're in lion country, you have to pay attention to the recent activity. Satan knows that he must attack God's truth in order to make us stumble. Anything that's contrary to our training, to God's Word, is a trap. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And we'll read verses 3 and 4. And I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. 2 Corinthians 11. 3 and 4. Paul recognized what was happening here. The Corinthian church was in danger of being led away. Verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent deceived thee by his subtlety, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This is one of the primary ways that lions hunt. They lead their prey away from safety, from the protection they had. And then they devour them. They attack them. Verse 4 shows us the kind of danger we need to recognize. Verse 4, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus who we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Well, what's that mean? What does it mean to well put up with it? Well, it means you were willing to listen to it. We can't be willing to listen to just anything. We have to know the voice. The mistake Eve made first was her willingness to listen to the serpent, giving Satan an opportunity to lead her away. We have to avoid such situations. Point number three. Fight back when attacked. When you're dealing with lions, you never run. You hold your ground. You never turn your back on a lion. Now, there's other animals out there that you can turn and run from. But the lion when you're in lion's country, you never run, it provokes them. Fight the good fight and defend yourself. That's how we fight. Hold on to and live by the perfect word of truth that has been taught to us from the beginning. How do we fight back? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. And we'll read verse 7. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. I'd like to read this to you from the New Living Translation. And it reads, we faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us through our conversion. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and then the left hand for defense. We don't leave ourselves unprotected and vulnerable. We protect ourselves fully from both sides. We should live by and speak the word of God in its true form, not accepting the addition of false and inferior elements that will make it weak and worthless. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, God's foundation is firm. It stands firm. It's a safe place for us to be. It's a safe place for us to dwell. In closing, turn with me to 1 Timothy 4, and we'll read verse 16. 1 Timothy 4, and we'll read verse 16. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy. Excuse me. Verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine and continue in them. For in doing so, you will save both yourself and those who will hear you. Brethren, let's sit firmly on the foundation Christ established for us long ago and be watchful. Recognize the warnings and dangers and fight back when attacked. If Adam would have stepped in and defended Eve and fought off Satan's lies with God's truth and God's instruction that he gave them, I sometimes wonder what other story might have been recorded throughout man's history. We all know the story of Daniel and how he escaped physical lions and how well as the spiritual lion by staying true to God. Brethren, let's also stay true to God and escape the lion. Have a great Sabbath.